There is a big sporting event coming up this summer. Athletes are practicing right now. Coaches are coaching. All the strategy is happening. This July in Las Vegas, it is the Cornhole World Championships.
In case you don't know, cornhole is a game where you throw a beanbag through a hole on a board. It used to be like a backyard thing, like birthday parties and stuff or arcades. But it has actually gone pro. You can watch cornhole on ESPN. The sport has a professional league and professional rankings and even sponsors like Red Roof Inn and Johnsonville Sausages. And at the World Championships of Cornhole, athletes compete for a total of $1 million in prize money. Cornhole is big business.
And this kind of financial interest in sports that once might previously have been described as niche, it's happening a lot lately. So to get an up-close look at what's going on, we have come to a special location.
Yes, we have.
To try out one of these newly popular sports. But Stacey, you and I, we are not holding beanbags.
No, we're not. Beanbags are not nearly deadly enough. In fact, we are holding axes. Big axes like the size of my arm.
Very carefully.
You guys want to throw some axes, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so you just got to sign in right here for me.
Is there like a waiver?
Huh? It is a waiver.
We're at Kickax, which is an axe throwing venue in Brooklyn.
One of many.
Yes, because it used to be if you were into axe throwing, there was only so far you could go. You were just a dreamer.
You think there was like a glass ceiling in the axe throwing world?
Well, probably not a glass ceiling.
But a ceiling.
Yeah. but now the sky's the limit for many reasons. Planters Peanuts sponsored axe throwing last year because just like with cornhole, there is now a world axe throwing championship and you can also watch axe throwing on ESPN. There are all these major competitions all around the world, in South America, Canada, in Dublin, Ohio.
Participant types of injuries, oh, here we go, include but are not limited to loss of vision or hearing, permanent disabilities, heart attack, stroke, paralysis, or death. Okay, Stacey,
I think we should go.
No, I'm in.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Sally Herships.
And I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith. Today on the show, we look at how and why niche sports, everything from curling to axe throwing to cornhole, are finding new backing and some serious money. But first, okay, Herships, it's on.
Watch out, Vanek-Smith. You may just lose a digit.
I'm not going to lose a digit.
Well, if I aim poorly, which I am likely to do, you may.
Now I'm scared. Okay.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Microsoft. At the Carlsberg Research Laboratory, scientists are using Microsoft AI to reinvent the way they produce beer. See how AI is empowering business innovators at Microsoft.com/AI. Support also comes from the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases. Now when you go out, you cash in. Capital One. What's in your wallet? Terms apply.
So cornhole and axe throwing, so many questions here.
All the questions. It's true.
There are two professional cornhole leagues, two. The American Cornhole League and the American Cornhole Organization. Why are investors willing to pump money into backing these sports? Like, why start a professional cornhole league? What about sinking your money into a nice, safe Silicon Valley startup? What is it about these less traditional sports that's attractive to sponsors like Johnsonville Sausages? And I mean, nothing against cornhole or axe throwing. What about, you know, basketball,
right?
Or hockey?
Like, yeah. Sports people know about.
Yeah.
You don't play at like 8-year-old birthday parties.
Or risk cutting off a limb. And finally, how do these sports get on TV? In this case, ESPN.
You know, I think you have to remember that the E in ESPN stands for entertainment.
Scott Rosner is academic director of the sports management program at Columbia.
So just because it's on ESPN doesn't make it a sport. To wit, poker has been a fixture of their efforts for a very long time.
ESPN airs a lot of less traditional sports, like CrossFit games or darts, and these sports all have something in common, which is their lack of popularity. But that lack of popularity can actually represent an unusual perk for a broadcaster. Just over 3.5 billion viewers watched the World Cup in 2018. For comparison, the World Axe Throwing League says its World Championship got hundreds of thousands of viewers last year on TV.
Yeah, but to be fair, that was only the World Championships of axe throwing for the second time.
Right. They're building an audience.
Yeah.
Still, that makes axe throwing what they call an evergreen property, meaning that you can put it on the air anytime you have a gap in your scheduling. Exactly because most viewers haven't seen it and probably haven't heard of it. Less popular sports, they make really good filler. But there's also another, possibly more important reason that these sports are getting on ESPN.
The thing with cornhole and with most of these other emerging and niche properties, especially at the beginning when they're really getting off the ground, you're not paying them if you're ESPN. They're paying you.
That is true. Many new sports buy time on the airwaves or find other ways to get their content out.
So some of these sports are actually paying to get themselves on ESPN?
Yeah, because there are profits to be made. The American Cornhole Organization had been streaming its videos on Facebook, but it hit almost 2 million views and it decided the time was ripe and it launched its own digital streaming network last year. Now, you can subscribe. You can get a monthly subscription. Plans are as low, Stacey, as $24.99.
To watch cornhole all the time?
All the time. And the World Axe Throwing League says it also didn't pay ESPN. Instead, it covered its own production costs, produced its own show, and then it shared revenue from ad sales with ESPN. Which brings us to another question. What is it about these sports that's attractive to sponsors? And again, it is their size, their tininess, the tininess of their popularity that is their selling point.
The companies that are sponsoring these emerging and niche leagues, these startups, are looking for a really highly targeted audience. They know that the size of the audience isn't what you get when you buy the National Football League or another major sports property. Instead, what you're getting is a highly targeted audience in a specific demographic.
This is also an opportunity for smaller companies, the kind who can't afford to advertise during an NBA game or during the Super Bowl. Like a craft beer company might want to sponsor a local axe throwing tournament, not to mention industry sponsors like people who make axes or, you know, insurance providers. But in order for a starter sport to get big enough to cut a deal to get on TV, that sport needs financial backing to begin with. And the question, why would you want to buy a team who played cornhole or threw axes? I mean, if you could afford to buy a big name team like an NBA or NFL, that gets a lot of credibility, like good seats and lots of perks. But Scott says buying a team, even a small one in a more obscure sport, can have some perks as well, including just being, you know, straight up a really good financial investment.
And I'm guessing also there's always like the dream that your sport, this niche sport, might become like the next, like soccer wasn't always so big in the United States and has slowly been getting more popular.
I think that is absolutely and without question what underlies all of the folks who are involved in these sports, whether it be something they talk about publicly or just something in the back of their mind. They all have a dream. They all have the dream that they can be the next NBA or Major League Baseball or National Football League, Major League Soccer, that they can all be the next one.
And the classic example of this kind of success of an outsider sport making it big is UFC Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Two people enter a cage, only one leaves. It's like Thunderdome without death. When the UFC was founded in 1993, it was seen as being totally on the fringe, this totally niche sport. A few years later, it sold for a couple of million dollars. And in 2016, it was sold again for $4 billion.
There is an unbelievable amount of competition for consumer share of mind, for consumer share of wallet in the sports space. And by the way, the other thing to note, most of these things will fail.
Okay.
Like any other business, right? I mean, most of them will not survive for a very long time.
We better go throw some axes while we still can.
All right. It's getting better.
Wow! Stacy!
That's a bullseye.
Oh my God! Wait. Holy cow, a bullseye! Sorry, I'm really excited. This episode was produced by Constanza Gallardo, fact-checked by Emily Lang, and edited by Patty Hirsch. The Indicator is a production of NPR.